the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In our day and age, we often hear a lot of hype or encouragement for us to be unified. And think of all the various movements of that we are asked to get behind as we either watch the news, watch TV, whatever it is, on the radio. We are encouraged, of course, to be in our culture, to partake in consumerism. That's one of the big ones that we're mostly unified in. But then all the ideologies pull at us. All the movements with their cries for either justice or other sorts of items are also asking for us to unify with them, to ally with them. And unity is generally perceived as kind of a goal. I mean, we think about it, wouldn't it be great if all the world united together? Wouldn't it be great if our country was more unified? Since at this point, it seems we're very divided. But there is a flip side to unity. There is a problem sometimes with unity. One of the stories in the Old Testament is that of the Tower of Babel. It says the whole world spoke one language, and they have one idea. The idea was that they would make a name for themselves, that they would present a legacy, that they would never be forgotten, so that every generation after them would know about those who built this wonderful tower. And they were unified so much that they began to build this tower that was going to reach up into heavens. And it isn't actually very clear as to why God crushes this tower and stops this and scatters the tongues. But we know from reading the Bible and from understanding it that it is from, or our theology, that it is from partially from their arrogance, from their desire for unity apart from God. Think of the united movements we've had. The whole world at one time thought there was a big problem, and the problem was Jews. And someone figured out a solution. And for a little while, the world pretty much went along with it, until they didn't. There are other movements for unity that we see, that we partake of, and there was unity in Russia at one time. There's been unity in China. There's been unity all over the world, and there's many atrocities caused by it. Caused by people coming together under a common ideological sign, a common political understanding, a common passion. Sometimes the unity that is sought within our culture is a unity of inflaming the passions, so that we can all partake of particular sins together and justify them and make identities out of them. And again, to be together in that. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says when he talks about in Romans that many people does not only sin, but they encourage others to sin with them. And this is what we often find ourselves just living in the world. Today we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit, who sent Christ sends down upon the apostles from the Father in the form of fiery tongues, and we are told about the apostolic unity, that they were praying together, that they were in the presence of God together. The type of unity that the Christian seeks is not unity of worldly philosophies, political ideologies, not unity of anything outside of Christ. But it is only a unity that is found by the grace and gift of the Holy Spirit. Now this unity, just I keep saying that word, don't I? This unity that I'm speaking of does not eliminate personality. It does not eliminate opinion. We see even in the New Testament that there is small strifes between fights breaking out between the apostles. One is sent to the Jews and one is sent to the Gentiles. But there is a unity of spirit. There are some who are called to monasteries and some who are called to churches and cathedrals and to be married. And yet, the same one Holy Spirit. There are many different giftedness. Those who are given to administration. Those who are more charismatic at preaching and giving and charity. But one God and one Holy Spirit, united together in one body. So the unity that we seek as Christians is always rooted in Christ, and it is always rooted in our sensitivity to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we are guided by our own sinful nature, if we are guided by the various winds and storms that surround us, the ideologies that push for our alliance, if we are guided by our human logic, our judgment of the world, these lead to destruction. These lead to disintegration and ultimately death. It is only as we empty ourselves of these things and become filled with the grace of God and become filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit that we become what we were created to be. Because ultimately, in the fallen universe, we're always pulling on the fabric of reality and always tearing things apart and we're always destroying despite all the calls for us to be together. Our togetherness as fallen human beings is most often totalitarianism. Most often. But by the grace of the Holy Spirit, it's different. It's resurrected life. It's peace. It's grace. It's love for your enemies. It's not having the need to oppress anybody to obtain a unified image. It is not having the need for anybody to join us, but it is being guided in listening and communion with God. Where we can, as Jesus prays in last week's gospel, where we can be one with God as one with Christ as He is with the Father. So as we pray today and continue in our service and we receive from the one cup and the one chalice, we receive the one Eucharist, may God help us to cry out and ask that the Holy Spirit may enter us and that we could shed away from all worldliness and become unified in the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.